If you're tuning into this podcast, you're most likely familiar with environments where students engage in learning. But prior to the pandemic, nearly 50 years ago, education hadn't changed much for hundreds of years.
As of today, March 25, over 1.4 billion learners worldwide are affected by school closures due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Nearly overnight, we have entered a radically new age of learning.
That was a clip from UNESCO Director General Audrey Azoulay in March 2020. Sure, there were niche online pedagogy, but it was considered more of a fad than a transformation of face-to-face, in-class knowledge dissemination. The same can be said for textbooks. Long considered a required component of pedagogy, the way students interact with similar content is nowhere close to what teachers even envisioned back in the 2020s.
The future of textbooks is really going to live in a world of online.
Textbooks, as well as novels and other things, will start being digitized.
I've heard that within like 4 years, they're like obsolete.
It's July 22nd, 2072, and this is Didactic, a podcast about educational technology and its origins. I'm Sam Charles. If you're not familiar with the term textbook, don't be embarrassed. The term itself went out of style a couple of decades ago. While it's occasionally used today in a retro chic sort of way, we're more accustomed to terminology such as interactive content, immersive educational components, IECs, and holographic two-way pedagogy. Textbooks were physical books, not like the digital content we use today, that included materials and content that aligned with the curriculum of a course or a lesson. According to Wikipedia, they dated back to ancient Greece, where educators wrote educational texts focused on the alphabet, knowledge, and storytelling. Once they could be produced en masse in the 15th century, the usage of these physical textbooks took off. They became commonplace as a teaching instrument in the 19th century. Marshall McLuhan in 1960 said, "The sheer quantity of information conveyed by press, magazines, film and television and radio far exceeds the quantity of information conveyed by school instruction and texts. This challenge has destroyed the monopoly of the book as a teaching aid and cracked the very walls of the classroom so suddenly that we're confused and baffled." Still, there were many educators who felt textbooks were paramount to the success of educators in maintaining a consistent curriculum. Li Fei Shen, head of the Marshall Cavendish Education, said this:
"Textbooks have been important in mastery teaching in Singapore. The only way for the curriculum to be implemented properly and consistently then was to develop a good set of textbooks."
Chen's comments are similar to those of Professor Miriam Ben-Peretz in her 1990 article entitled "The Teacher Curriculum: Freeing Teachers from the Tyranny of Texts." In the article, she talked about how the adoption of appropriate materials and their skillful adaptation to specific classroom situations will either facilitate or hinder the teaching efforts of even the most dedicated of teachers. According to Ben-Peretz, the textbooks inhibited the educator and the learner from choosing and expanding upon content at their pace. In 1998, Loewenberg Ball and Feynman Namzer called for educators to only use these resources as an accompaniment to their planning and content delivery. Despite those calls for a shift from traditional textbooks, those textbooks remained a staple of pedagogy well into the 21st century. Through their ease of use, but gradually, the public shifted its focus. During that time, Neil Postman famously stated in his book, Technopoly: The Surrender of Culture to Technology, "New technologies alter the structure of our interests, the things we think about. They alter the character of our symbols, the things we think with, and they alter the nature of community, the arena in which thoughts develop." In a sense, that technology, or at least the connection between the technology and the learner's interests, was what was missing. Textbooks lack dimension, depth, and interactivity that users, both educators and learners, sought. Once technology and its usability came into stride with the needs of users, the sun began to set on textbooks, like the emerging two moons, Phobos and Deimos, rising over Mars. Still, even in 2013, according to Reuters, online products accounted for 27% of the $12.4 billion spent on textbooks for secondary schools and colleges in the United States. But that wasn't looking at the whole picture. One person who didn't see the demise of the textbook was John Maxwell. In his 1985 article, The Future of Textbooks, Can They Help Individualize Education?, he argued that textbooks will not only survive present controversies, but they will emerge as more useful tools than they are now. He suggested that more than 90% of what occurred in classrooms in his educational jurisdiction were shaped by and centered around textbooks. In their book, Multimodal Texts in Disciplinary Education, Christina Danielson and Stefan Solander talked about working with texts in deliberate ways as a foundation for supporting students' subject learning and their potential to demonstrate their knowledge in the subject. Peering into their crystal ball, they envisioned digitally produced texts enabling other possibilities that opened up for a more flexible reading order. For the reader, therefore, the reading process would differ from traditional texts. In a digital text, the question of beginning or ending would not be self-evident. In the early stages of the transition away from textbooks, publishers like Cengage and McGraw-Hill tried to keep pace. According to a 2018 blog post by Kate Hassey, these publishers tried hybrid approaches of combining their printed textbooks with online software. It was perhaps too little too late. Despite the addition of data and analytics, simply the cost, weight, and continuous push for smarter, more sustainable materials led to the textbook's demise. It was a similar sentiment in 2010 by Celia Henry Arnall, who said improvements in technology could eventually pull those heavy conventional textbooks out of students' backpacks, but textbooks, as we know them, probably won't disappear anytime soon. Interactive and adaptive technologies quickly put textbooks in the rearview mirrors of their solar-powered, self-driving vehicles. Today, holograms and personalization using artificial intelligence drive student interest into areas they've shown an aptitude or interest. The holograms act as an instructor when a human one is not available. There's little doubt that the internet and technologies that sprung from it have enabled educators and learners to access information more easily. As a result, learning has accelerated, but also adjusted to the varying needs of educators, learners, and subject matter. Assessment and experiential learning are now seamlessly integrated into these new technologies. These technologies that we now take for granted allow for more inquiry. They allow for what we call smart scaffolding. Smart scaffolding is basically the ability of these technologies to embrace cognitive load theory, CLT, including intrinsic CL, inherent to a subject matter, extraneous CL, caused by the instructional design, and germane CL, required for connecting material to long-term memory. They are precisely the reasons the textbooks of yesteryear faded away. In their 2016 article, Technology in Textbooks, The Future, Stephen L. Baglian and Kevin Sullivan recognized that it was possible for e-textbooks to be customized to fit student-specific needs. And they foresaw that between the rising costs of producing textbooks and advancing technology, that dramatic change was on the horizon. Their vision was closer to what has become our reality. While we no longer use terms like e-textbooks, since books as they used to exist are becoming more and more rare, technology has allowed what those researchers considered science fiction to become today's reality. Humans have long sought to prognosticate what is next in the evolution of education and pedagogy. In a 2017 paper by Ornette Turin, entitled how the futuristic school was imagined in science fiction movies and literature. She said, "One is expected to accept the convergence of teaching instruments and information hardware with the human body." Today, reading is done through technologies that don't impact our vision. These advancements followed the same trajectory as bone conduction in the audiosphere. Headphones and earbuds were eventually usurped by embedded chips that conducted sound through bone vibration. When research finally detailed the correlation between screen usage and eye health, the replacement of screens was inevitable. Using technologies that built upon Braille, artificial reality, and other immersive technologies, we now have tools that have replaced textbooks and enable us to explore knowledge in ways that never before seemed possible. Innovation takes time. How we learn continues to evolve generation over generation. We become curious about new things, so we investigate, experiment, build spatial understanding, and document these findings so others can better understand. This is Didactic. Until next time, I'm Sam Charles.